for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Yeah. Tonight on the show, Hillary and I don't recognize a goddamn person in this movie. It is the 1971-2-ish Let's Scare Jessica to Death. Hillary is joining us from her cozy corner. Look at her. Oh my God, you look good.
I am cozy. I am still in my bed. What's up, my ghouls, gays, and nays? We also have a broken-footed husband.
Nice! Oh, I love this. This is great. Yeah.
And he watched it with me last night, like actually watched it. He thought he was just going to read, but he watched this movie with me last night. So he may actually be on the podcast and use words.
Which is exciting because a lot of people have expressed, I don't know if Talon knows this, but a lot of our fans and other podcasters have expressed sending you, you know, healing vibes and prayers and just, you know, get well soon, Talon. And Talon, what the one guy said is like, sounds like a superhero. And just,
well, so. I am, so.
There he is, guys. Talon on the cast.
Humble as ever.
Yeah, that modesty, humble, subtle. That's my guy.
That's
he
right.
Wasn't a husband that I just made up.
No, he's a real human being.
Drive away the hordes of men that, you know, are heterosexual and want to date me. Oh, wait, that's not me.
Line forms to the left, gentlemen. Yeah. All right. So before we jump into this, one of the things that I have always loved about you, especially with this show, is that you've never been shy or scared to share like where you're at and, you know, what's going on with you and everything. And two of my favorite episodes, one's where you talked about the relapse, and then the other one is when you talked about isolation out in South Carolina. So, okay. I am not okay. I am dealing with the death of my friend Robert. I am going through the motions of being okay. You know, most days it's like trying to sprint through super glue. I'm very grateful to Hill for giving me the grace to be able to navigate this without substances. Sucks, by the way. And I'm very grateful to Slink for just literally like navigating this, because grief is, for me anyway, grief is not this constant state of sorrow. It is this up and down, and some moments are peaceful and good, and then there's moments where I forget, and then there's moments where it hits me like a ton of bricks. And it's just been hard, and I, you know, and I don't know if it's just because this is a piece of my past that's kind of being laid to rest, or just the regrets of like, man, I really wish I would have taken a drive to see him, you know, or I wish this, or I wish that, you know, whatever. But I'm not okay. Like, I had to get up this morning and go buy a pair of shitty black pantyhose to go with my shitty black funeral dress. You know, I have a gorgeous head of hair, you know, which I'm very humble about. And I had to wake up and wash it, which takes a long time. And then to dry it, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, and then fun fact, Walgreens stopped selling pantyhose. That's a fucking thing. Mm-hmm. I went to Walgreens and they were like, oh no, we discontinued that. And I was like, what, for who? Like, yeah. So
women, just
yeah, fuck women, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, or men who have transitioned, you know, good on you. But
well, yeah,
no.
Fuck them too, obviously. I mean, right. that's a given. That's a given. Fuck you in America.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I had to, you know, I woke up this morning and I was just like, pantyhose. Like, I just put it in a search engine and then hightailed it to the nearest CVS, God bless them. And I got a 75% off pair. I was very excited about that. And then my brother, it was not able to get off work because his boss sucks. And he even went about it in the traditional, you know, because see, me at other jobs would have been like, fuck it, I'm taking the day off, you know, or I'll call in sick, you know,
Yeah.
cough, cough. But my brother decided to be honest, and his boss was like, nope, you're working, fucker. So,
That's disgusting.
it is disgusting. It is disgusting. And he's very upset about it. So he sent me his eulogy. So I have two eulogies to do today. And yeah, it's just, and I'm grateful that I am present. I'm grateful that I'm able to do that, right? But you know, I'm just sad. I'm just sad, and I hate grief like so much, just because it's like this weird combination of anger and sadness and confusion. Like, that's how I would describe it. Like, I almost wish it was depression. You know what I mean? Like, because then it's constant and you're just like, well, just another day, burr, 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 right? Like, then you can kind of go, okay, so tomorrow's gonna suck too. Whereas this is just a, it's like a sucker punch every so often, right? So it's hard to plan for it, and I'm a planner. Like, I'm one of those people that I'm always 3 steps ahead, right? I'm always like, okay, so if this happens, then this, and if this happens, then this, right? I don't live in the moment. I'm the opposite of what they tell us to do in recovery. I that's a thing, right?
That's a
Like,
thing.
no, I don't live in the moment. I have to be reminded to live in the moment. You know, so, and then I guess the other thing I wanted to bring up was oftentimes when we do buy me a coffee, we kind of gloss over who buys us a coffee, right? We kind of, you know, we say their name and then we're just like, meh, you know. So Robert Ortiz has purchased several movies from us. In addition to that, he's been one of our biggest supporters since, you know, day one. I think he has some merchandise. And he has just been so supportive of the show, so supportive of us, supportive of Slink and I when we were down. You know, he is a true friend, a mensch, and I'm just very grateful to our fans, and I'm really grateful to him. He is also a really brilliant writer. He sent me a Anarchist Guide to Wedding Planning, which he made. And it's sad because you got married before that book came out. So,
Damn it, Robert Ortiz. Get your shit together.
damn it, Robert Ortiz. So, anyway, we're gonna put a link to his Amazon page because he has written so many books. He's got a new one out right now. He's really, really brilliant. And you know, thank you, Robert, for being a great friend and for also just contributing to the show. So, all right, all of this to say, this movie this movie starts off with a hearse.
It does. Yeah. We have, this lady and two gentlemen driving around in a hearse,
It took me a second to kind of figure out what the dynamic was. And see, this film is has characters that were part of the hippie counterculture,
For
and
sure.
that is a lifestyle that both Hillary and I know nothing about because this is way before we were born. And so it's interesting to see the dynamic between these three characters. And there was a part of me that was like, she's fucked both those guys.
Oh, for sure.
Like, she's clearly had sex with both those gentlemen. All right. So I did recognize one person, and that is only because I did a deep dive on this. And I, so okay, I'm gonna ask you because you have also seen The Exorcist 167 times.
That is true.
Okay. The gentleman who played her husband, that's Duncan,
Yes.
any familiarity with him at all? No, okay.
Never seen the man before in my life.
Okay, I'm going to give you a quote. Mrs. McNeil, the problem isn't with your daughter's bed. The problem is in her brain.
Oh, the doctor guy?
Yes, the doctor guy, Dr. Klein. Right? I was, no, trust me. when I did a deep dive on this, folks, let me just say this. I do extensive research on these
Yes.
movies. Like I really do. And I will be honest with you, there was very little to know about this. Like besides the fact that my phone is on a charger right now because I have two eulogies to do, and it is we are flying blind, guys. We are working without a net today. And even so, I still didn't have anything on these actors other than the gentleman who portrays Dr. Klein in The Exorcist, as well as the lead actress, Jessica. She is in Exorcist 3 as the wife of George C. Scott, which, like I said, that's way over either of our heads because I don't think I haven't seen Exorcist 3 as many times as I've seen The Exorcist, but.
Yeah, I mean, like I have seen Exorcist 3, like, I watch 1 and 3, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Like a normal human being.
Absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely. Two would be a hate watch for me. I get it. There's
Yeah.
people out there probably, I think PJ is a fan of two, where he's just like, it's so bad, it's good. You know what I mean? Like, and it's a lot of artistic choices in that movie.
Yeah.
But no.
But yeah, I couldn't even tell you that George C. Scott's character was married. Like I'm watching it kind of in my brain, just trying to scan the movie from what I remember, and I don't recall a wife.
I don't either.
Yeah.
So I was what I was like, Kinderman has a wife. Like it just kind of threw in my, and I was like, well, okay. And so yes, this movie essentially is about a woman who gets out of a mental hospital, who has been, by the way, in the mental hospital for 6 months,
Yes.
which I now maybe this was a 70s thing because
Yeah.
when I went into the mental hospital, that was like a 2 weeks tops and then they threw you out.
Yeah, no. So back in the day, apparently, we used to take care of the mentally ill.
Oh, what a, yeah, wild.
Wild concept. I know. But yeah, you like Girl Interrupted, and like you could go and like stay there till you're better.
Now,
And we're just going to help you get better, whatever that looks like. You just need somebody to talk to. You need medication. You need to stay here in indefinite amount of time. There's no like release date. It was not, your insurance is up. Get the fuck out and just go wander the streets and hope you don't kill anybody or yourself.
No, that
Blessed
sounds
be.
right.
Yeah.
Because in the 80s, Reagan, who I still hate to this day, Reagan actually shut down a lot of the mental institutions, mental hospitals, putting those people out on the street. So then we dealt with
Yes.
a lot of homeless people that also were, as we say, duly diagnosed. They had schizophrenia, they had mental issues. And so, and now, today, we don't give a fuck about the mentally ill, you know?
Yeah,
We
when
give them,
people say things just like, autism, wasn't a thing back in the day. And I'm just like, no, it was. We just didn't label it properly, and we just put them into institutions. And then we shut down the funding for the institutions, and we just put those people out on the streets, and we're just like, pull yourself up from the bootstraps, kiddo. And just like try to thug it out. And genetically, just like some of those people like reproduced, and now it's like, yes, there is a mentally ill problem, and you all keep voting to just like fuck them.
Yeah,
Like
absolutely.
that's the
Absolutely.
solution. Fuck them.
Absolutely. Fuck the poor, Fuck the
Fuck the poor,
hungry.
fuck
Fuck
the mentally
the.
ill, fuck anybody who is gay, trans, neurodivergent, on any sort of spectrum. The only people that, we are deep throating
Rich
are
and white,
billionaires.
baby. Rich
Yeah.
and white. Oh,
Rich,
yeah.
white, cis. We say we're Christian, but practice zero of the values. Yeah, deep throat those motherfuckers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this woman gets released from a mental institution 6 months later. One of the gentlemen, that would be the gentleman from The Exorcist, is her husband, Duncan. She is Jessica. Their buddy Woody, I think that's his name. I'm just throwing it
With
out there.
sick mutton chops.
I called him mustache for most of the
Oh, I called
movie.
him mutton chops, but yes, his
Oh.
name is Woody. But yeah.
And he's
And
got a Woody for Emily. Woody's
yes.
got a Woody for Emily.
Boy, does he want to fuck that dirty hippie.
Yeah.
Oh my God, does he want to have sex with that ginger? Okay, so we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, not by much. So
That's what we get when we invite talent to the podcast. It's just like, and then it ends with, and we're like, hi, we're 3 minutes in.
know, right? Yeah.
Hush.
So Duncan and Jessica have purchased a house. They've purchased a house called the Bishop House in Connecticut,
It's
and
beautiful.
it's gorgeous.
Like the scenery and the ferry and everything.
Oh
I
man.
was really like, oh my God. Like when I'm first getting in and it, like the vibrant colors of everything and like the lush of Connecticut and we're leaving New York because that's what broke you. And now we're going to Connecticut. I've wiped out my savings to live here, buy you this house, and we're gonna be together. And like I love you and I support you and like I'm so on board for this story of just like couple starting over and like they pull into town and the locals are one, they're driving a hearse, so you're fucking weirdos.
Right, they already have this, and also the town is conspicuously missing women. Can we just
Yes.
talk about that for a second? The
Yeah,
town is
absolutely.
conspicuously missing women. It is nothing but old white guys who just hang out on a porch.
It is very fitting for this episode, now that I'm thinking about
Yeah, I
it.
was thinking about that. I'm
Yeah.
like, that's interesting how the symmetry of it all, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, they're just and all they do really is just they just judge. Some people
Yeah,
shop,
they
some
just sit on the porch
right.
and judge everyone.
Everyone, right?
So yeah,
So
they it is a very, outsider, children of the corn, Outlander-esque feel.
absolutely. And this thruple, if you will, shows up in this hearse, and there's a really cool scene where she jumps out of said hearse and goes to a cemetery, and she does a rubbing of
Yeah, a
one of
grave
the
drawing. Yep.
a grave draw of one of the stone thing. And I said, "Can you really do that?" And Slink, who is an artist, he's like, "Oh, absolutely. It's really cool." He's like, "They actually make paper specifically now that's done for rubbing. Like it's just you just you know
Our
over a
friend
charcoal."
Melissa does it.
Oh, cool, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Yep.
awesome.
Yeah, she is a big fan of like old cemeteries and like bringing people like back to life in a sense, because even
Nice.
Jessica mentions, when was the last time these people have been discussed or thought of? Like, the saying of like, there's, the two times that you die, once when, your physical body leaves, and the second time is when the last person mentions your name.
Oh, that's so good. God, thank
Yeah.
God you're here to come to carry this episode, baby.
No problem. I'm all over this one.
Right, it's funny though, because usually, like,
It is not.
it's a little opposite.
Yeah. Very opposite. So, yeah, and she, brings it up of just like, these people haven't been thought about in years. And now, we're thinking about them and we're talking about them and we're discussing them. And, just, I just love like, that your life continues even after you're like no longer here.
Love that. Oh God, I love that. So yeah, so they get to this house, and when they're in this house, they get a, there's a little jump scare. There's a little jump scare. This little tiny weird ginger hippie jumps out, and they're like, "Who the fuck are you?" Now, here's what's the difference between the 70s and now, right? In the 70s, they basically are just like, "Wow, how'd you get here?" And she's like, "Well, I saw that the house was, empty, and I just decided to start a life here. But I can leave." And Had this happened today, somebody would have pulled a gun right out of their boot and shot her, or they would have the authorities would have been involved.
Yeah.
Like, they'd have been like, "Fuck you, hippie! Like, we're done here. Like, you are so going to jail." But they didn't. They were like, "You should stay."
Yeah. There, like, there's a moment where, when Jessica is in the cemetery, she looks up and she sees like a Mansonite girl in a white dress. That's what I refer to her as. She's a
That's good.
Mansonite. And she looks up and then like looks back and then looks up and the Mansonite girl is gone and she's like, don't say any. And you hear the voiceover in her head,
Yeah, which
don't say anything.
I love this because I've never really seen mental illness portrayed in this way.
Me either.
So when you're watching it, you're kind of like, okay, is she schizophrenic? Like, is she
Yeah.
hearing voices? But then you think about it in terms of, say, your own behavior, and you kind of go, oh, that's right, because your voice does kick in and just goes, hey, let's act normal in this. And
Let's
I
act
love
normal
that.
right now.
Act
Yes.
normal in this situation. Don't say anything. Just act normal. Just act normal. And trust me, that is a mantra that I have to do, especially with my particular brand of mental illness. Like, I have to do that because I have to be like, don't say that. That's inappropriate, you know?
And then, like, when she shows up to the house and you just see like the legs and then the run, the husband says, "Don't worry, baby, I saw that too."
Right.
I loved that. And then yeah, they go, they, find this beautiful woman named Emily, and they're yeah, then this is where we make decisions. Because now, if I just bought a home and I found a young girl who's probably like 20, and she's got a book bag full of stuff, and I'm just like, what are you doing? I thought the place was empty. I'm gonna go, okay, you gonna go though? Like, we don't got like, I get it, but
We're
yeah, you
not
can't
gonna
stay.
invite you for a sing-along.
Yeah, no, you're not. And maybe I would have fed her because it's moving day. So, like, there's pizza downstairs,
And
no
some
problem.
Chinese on its
Yep.
way, right?
Grab
Yeah.
yourself a slice. But yeah, homie, you gotta go because, like, I don't know you. I don't know what you got in your fucking bag. It's like too much. As much as I, am for not putting the mentally ill out on the street, I'm also not willing to move someone in that I don't know with any sort of background or history or anything of just like, yes, you can come live with me and my husband, you absolutely gorgeous 20-year-old with your flowing red hair and bright blue, sometimes green eyes. Yeah, no, we're not doing that. And that's for your protection, baby girl. Yeah, you're welcome. That's a gift. You gotta go.
So they do invite her to stay for dinner at the world's smallest kitchen table.
The world's
And
smallest kitchen
oh
table,
my God, it's like
and all of their food choices. Yeah, Talon and I had to discuss them where I was just like, what the fuck are they eating?
We're gonna talk about that in a second because I thankfully had to ask my former chef fiance about that because I was like, huh? But when they're first eating, they're eating very rare meat. It almost yeah. And she tells herself in her head like, first the voice pops up and says, "It's blood, Jessica. It's blood," you know. And then she's like, "No, it's not." But one of the things
I mean, but
she
it is. It's
it
like a
is.
blood
It's a bloody steak.
rare,
Yeah.
yeah,
It's weird.
lamb
Lamb
leg.
chunk. Yeah. Like a lamb shank, right?
It's delicious.
Yeah. So while they're sitting around doing this, all of a sudden the hippie pulls out a lute, which is a kind of a larger mandolin, if you will, and starts playing and singing, very Joni Mitchell style. And then husband Duncan is like, I am gonna go get my stand-up bass.
Yeah. Yeah. So anybody that is thinking, like, oh, a bass guitar with a lute. No.
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 We're
So we
talking.
have a cello, and then next to the cello is the stand-up huge fucking bass
Huge.
that is like 7 feet tall. And yeah,
Right.
he just like lugs that into the world's tiniest kitchen around the world's tiniest dinner table and just starts playing bass with the lute to the Joni Mitchell sing along of like, I'll love you forever.
Absolutely. And you can tell Woody is definitely falling for her at this moment. And Jessica's head is telling her like he's attracted to her, like Duncan, that her husband is attracted to her, because she does kind of do a she does touch his arm.
Yeah, she scans the room and correctly. You know, like there.
Yeah.
I do love the voiceover that we get to understand where Jessica is at mentally and the escalation.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, again, when we see Emily, you can't stay here, baby. Yeah. Absolutely. But, all right, so decisions were made and Emily is staying. And now my husband is, like, in a sing-along and playing with her.
Uh-uh.
Motherfucker. Mm-mm. We gonna have a little chitty chat when we go to bed of just like, I get it. Emily's new and fun. It's enough Emily and you
right
now.
The shaved vagina is not greener on the other side,
I promise you.
So
don't get that little girl beat up. You don't want to do that, right? We're here to get me better. We're here for my mental fucking health. Well, I can tell you what is going to descend me into manis, you and that little fucking bitch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So then Duncan and Jessica decide to go to sleep in the world's smallest bed.
For a married couple, I was just like, what is that? Like a twin XL?
I was like, it must be a full. What would be considered a full, right? It's like
terrible.
One step below a queen, but a little bit bigger than a twin, right? So they are, it is uncomfortable to watch them in this bed. Like, it's like, oh my God, why? One of the interesting things that I kind of dug about this couple is that they had this wild plan, right? And the wild plan was, we're gonna take all of the stuff that we find in this house, we're gonna take it down to the local antique store, we're going to sell it, and that money is somehow going to keep us afloat in 1971. Which, I mean, with you think about the stuff that they find in the attic, they find a, you know, a sterling silver really huge picture frame.
Yep.
There's a bird cage. There's a steamer trunk. Like, there's all this really cool stuff. But that is the idea. And it also then occurs to me when you see them washing their hair in the cove.
No running water.
Yeah, I know. I was like, well, that's odd. Because, I mean, have you ever tried to wash your hair in, like, a body of water that's not a shower? It's really difficult to do.
Yeah, I mean, like when I was, you know, homeless, like trying to go into like the Walmart, handicap stall.
Absolutely.
Get high, obviously. And then, you know, yeah, like, you know, take whatever sort of bath I could with, you know, like a wet wipe and a sink. And that's that would, you know, that now I'm presentable to go rob Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like. Nobody's going to look at the lady smelling like, baby soft dude wipes and with wet hair. Nobody's going to suspect her of stealing the Gillette razors.
Oh, my God. I used to wear. So two things I did when I was homeless that were big was I lived out of my car. Like, I basically would like go from place to place. And stuff.
Oh, you was bougie homeless.
I was a little bougie. I was a little Nissan, lived out of my trunk, basically. And I used to wear my hair in these like pippy long stocking braided pigtails. And there were two habits that I picked up being homeless that unfortunately I kind of carried into my recovery. One was the braided pigtails. The other one was living out of my trunk. Mm-hmm. My trunk was always full. Always, 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 always. And one day my mom went downstairs because we were cleaning out my car, just doing a regular thing. And she looked at my trunk and she said, "You're not homeless anymore. Like, you don't have to live like this anymore." And it still took me another 15 years before I stopped living out of my trunk. Like, but I swear to God, these are things we pick up on the streets that were like, oh, this is just, and you don't think of it as being abnormal.
No.
Right?
No, I'm making like the best. I only have bad decisions. This is the best bad decision.
Absolutely.
And learning how to undo that thought process
Ooh.
after you have made that neural pathway in your
Ooh.
brain to then try to undo that one and create a new one is like a different level of strength that like most people really don't. Once I got like into the science of addiction and like why we choose like the same behaviors and how, you know, the brain doesn't seek like good things, it seeks safety and familiarity. And even though I living homeless in abusive relationships, it's a devil that I know, so I understand how to navigate it. And the brain tells me we can stay safe instead of then choosing the guy that's going to make me a hot cup of coffee in the morning until he breaks his foot, or, you know, is kind to me. That does not feel normal. That does not feel safe. So I cannot choose it unless I'm actively participating in that choice.
Absolutely.
She's not holding a grudge over this broken foot at all.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say the coffee
I'm
maker
not
is
really holding a
down.
grudge. It's,
Right. No, I know. We
No, now it's me on my, you know, Chevrolet legs over here making cups of coffee for him, which I am really grateful that I get to do, of just like, you know, I love that I get this treatment all the time and I'm able to give it back to you because I do love you the way that you love me. Yes. Is there still like this self-absorbed bitch that lives inside of here that goes like, man, I really miss my coffee in the morning before my feet hit the ground? Yeah, I'm still a human being. I am flawed.
Yeah,
I
but
miss being able to walk downstairs.
I love this though. Like there's something about being with a partner who it is about that one day you're the fighter and then one day they're and that's the biggest thing is like with the situation I'm going through right now is that to have a partner who gives you that space to figure it out, man. I mean, trust me, I think a lot of male partners in general have a tendency to be like, okay, how can I fix it?
Yeah, how can I
Right?
fix it so you can go back to doing the things that I need you to do of, you know, I need you to be the temptress and, you know, everything else. Oh, we've got a question in the audience.
Oh, okay.
More of a statement. Men
Oh.
are coded that way.
Right. Okay. So that's what
We
I'm
are
saying.
coded that way to fix the problem. It is a lot of work for us to understand that, like, sometimes you're just venting.
Right.
And like it goes against our inner nature to not just go fix the problem because
Yeah.
I know how to fix it, or I
Right.
think I do.
Know how to fix it. Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know, and it took me a very long time to figure out, like, just to ask the simple question of, do you need me to listen or do you want me to fix this?
Yes, and I God bless Slink for being that guy. Thank God. Just to be like, okay, so do you need a hug? Do you need to just talk about this? Do you need me to shut up? Do you need me to leave you alone? Do you need me to, and I can only imagine how frustrating that is for guys just because it changes, right? We're not just like sitting here going, just give me a hug and everything will be fine. It's more like, okay, today I need a hug. Okay, today I need you to leave me the fuck alone. Okay, today I need you to play some music so I don't have to deal with my feelings or whatever. Or today I need you not to judge me for that bacon cheeseburger. Whatever it is. Like,
And then also, just, you know, to get on the pro man train. Yeah, no, I'm weird for this fucking podcast. Let's watch more movies from the 70s.
all of 5 minutes that we're
Yeah.
doing this.
Men are also, while they do have an intrinsic nature to fix, they are also taught from, you know, toddler to be a man, suck it up. That like softness is weakness, and men are not supposed to be weak. And like the men in their lives, like that's what has been done to them. So now, you know, we have that like male loneliness epidemic thing, but it's not like loneliness. It is, you know, things have been beaten out of you, and women were supposed to be the ones that were able to be soft. And then we built a world where women weren't able to be soft. And now, like, the part of that is, men are alone because I can't shoulder your emotional needs. I can't carry the weight of just all of that on my shoulders with everything that I have to do, because I also have to go to work and raise the kids and keep the house together and watch the dogs and, you know, do all of the fucking things. So like I need a partner. And so many men from a young age were not taught to be a partner. You know, they were just taught it is your right to exist and take up fucking space and just fix the fucking problem.
Yeah.
And yeah. And,
whereas
and
we
now
were
we're
taught
here.
Whereas we were taught the opposite.
Yes.
Right? We were taught that we don't take up space, that we don't yell, that we don't, that we're not loud, that
Yep.
we're, you know, seen and not heard kind of thing.
Yeah,
And
that is the definition of being a good woman.
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely.
And like that is not the good woman that I want to be. I don't want to be quiet and small and subservient and just in the background and just shouldering the weight of your emotional, you know, non-development. I don't have.
You don't say.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. That's why I have a partner that says, like, yeah, hey, it's your turn to like step up. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yes, they do go to an antique store and they do meet an antique owner, antique salesman who, sure, Macaw.
Macaw with a barbecue fork on the wall.
Absolutely. So we meet this Macaw gentleman. He kind of tells him, like, all right, so here's the deal. Like, I would like to buy the stuff that you're selling, but I feel weird about it because in the house that you have moved into, probably one of the really cool things about Connecticut, is besides the scenery, is that there's houses there that have been there since like the 1800s, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and he says back in the day, you know, this girl in this picture who looks strikingly like the weird ginger hippie that you guys have allowed into your house.
Yeah, it's not even like like it's literally a photo
it's
of her
her.
from like
Yeah.
from dinner, and I was just like, yeah, even like Talon peeped at you. He was just like, the girl in the photos, the girl in the house, like,
right.
like immediately. And I was just like, I really hope that that is not like this big surprise twist ending. Cause how did people not see that comment? Like, we didn't do short
yeah.
hair.
Nope.
It is the same haircut. It's just a black
nope.
and white photo,
it's
but
just
it,
yeah, just a sepia toned, you know,
yeah.
like whatever. And, but he says, you know, he says, in that house, Abigail Bishop, the one in the wedding dress, didn't get to wear the wedding dress on her wedding because she drowned in the cove behind the gorgeous house with the awesome orchard and
Yeah,
everything, you
like,
know?
and the husband is now trying to shut him down of just like, yeah, no, give me the money. We're in a rush. We're in a rush. We're in a rush. And Jessica is trying to get like more information. And the husband is just like, of all the things you need in your fucking head, it is not the information of all the horrors that have happened in this house back in 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the girl in the photo that we're selling is living in our house and, you know, we're being a quad now. We're swingers, probably, hopefully. But also, yeah, let's just sell this and like keep it moving. Like, and Jessica even says, like, well, that was rude.
Right.
That was
right.
rude. You was rude to the antiquist.
Like,
the antiquist.
You cut, yeah, Macaw all day. Like
Macaw.
You shut him down.
Yeah.
That was rude for you to shut him down. And the husband, you know, he says, like, and he's trying really hard to protect her. Like, he's
yes.
trying really hard for her not to have another, what they were used to refer to as a nervous breakdown. This was the catch-all term in the 70s for, you know, I had some sort of a mental break, whatever it
yeah.
was, right? So yes, it's just, I'm preventing you from having another nervous breakdown. You know, oftentimes,
because we can't afford it.
Yeah, we can't. Like, we have sold, we're done, man.
Yeah, we are selling antiques out of the house that I bought out of my savings so we can eat lunch later, which is going to be gross. But like, that's, and why did we invite another mouth to feed?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
But I don't know.
We are selling the antiques out of the house to stay alive. So you really cannot break again. We cannot afford it. We can't move again. This is it.
So there's this scene where they're eating what literally looks like raw meat. And I looked at And I looked at Slink because I was like, okay, chef, tell me what's going on. And he's like, oh, it's beef carpaccio. It was real big in the 70s. And I was
Oh,
like,
Talon said it was tuna tartare.
oh, yeah, I don't think they're that fancy.
It could have been steak tartare as well.
Right. It could have been, you know what? He said, exactly. It could have been beef carpaccio or steak tartare. Either way, raw.
It's cat food.
It's fucking raw. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and Budweiser. And cans
Yeah, and cans of Bud.
of Budweiser. I was like, okay,
And
so
a
that
glass of
happened.
water. And a glass of water.
A glass of
Just
water. Yeah. God knows.
you need to be hydrated.
Say, God knows where they got that from. So, Woody starts to hit on starts to hit on, you know, little hippie chick Emily.
Emily.
And Emily is not having it. Doesn't like the mutton chops, doesn't want to give that any kind of second look, really, 'cause he
It's
tries
been a
to
long time.
right. He tries to, you know, he kind of tries to, you know, kiss her or whatever, and she's like, "Don't be so, what is it? Don't rush or
Don't be in
whatever.
such a hurry.
Don't be in such a hurry."
Don't be
And
in
you
such a
and so okay. The 70s kind of marked this end of counterculture and beginning of, you know, books like I'm Okay, You're Okay.
The joy
You know,
of sex, I believe.
The Joy of Sex, you know, like just these different sort of we're all getting in touch with our feelings, right? And so the men in this movie are not weak men necessarily. They're kind of very open-minded.
Yeah, no, they are definitely like the end of the hippie-esque culture,
Right.
that are like getting in touch, with their, feminine, men are from Mars, women Venus,
Right,
sort
right.
of thing. But yeah, like they're not like feminine men, they're not emasculating.
No.
Woody's out in the orchard, he's spraying everything with, pesticide off the big truck. They're
Right.
fixing the house. Like they are doing very traditional, like masculine things, societal norms for men. But also trying to be loving and kind and not forceful and like really the men in this movie, other than the townsfolk, they're weird, but like the two main, Duncan and Woody, are very respectful of women and Mother
Oh
Earthy-esque.
yeah.
Yeah, just they're good men.
Yes. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Absolutely. I kind of yeah, I really dug that. And I kind of dug the fact that even though Jessica is having these thoughts come up, there's also another part of Jessica that's shutting down those thoughts. So it's almost like she's actually gaslighting herself.
Oh yeah, no, Jessica's Jessica's own worst enemy, and I identify with that. I tell people all the time, I would never let anybody talk to me the way I'll talk to me.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that that's also to your point, a lot of at that point where women were told to suppress those concerns, those anxieties. In fact, we used to refer to Valium as mother's little helper,
Yep. To keep
right?
me numb,
Because
keep me quiet.
heaven forbid, mother should have an opinion.
Yeah, no. Make the dinner, make my martini, fuck me good, go to
Right.
bed.
And just go to bed.
Vacuum in the morning. That
Yeah.
shut
Oh,
up.
yeah. Absolutely. In a dress.
And yes,
Like you do.
obviously put your face on and,
Oh.
go clean the house.
Super important, Mrs. Maisel. So, yes. The next day, Jessica sees the Mansonite, what girl, and she, you know, the Mansonite girl beckons to her to follow her. And she's like, okay. So she follows her and lo and behold, sees the antique dealer beaten and bloody at the bottom of
The waterfall.
a waterfall.
Yeah, on her property, absolutely gorgeous. And yeah, like starts screaming and losing it and calls for her husband. And when they go back, because they found a mole in the yard. And
Yeah.
so he went to the house to go make it home in a glass jar with no holes.
Slink's like, you take that away from its home? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, to put it in a glass jar with no holes.
He was so offended.
And it was
by
a mouse, not a mole.
And it was a mouse, but
absolutely, because I looked it up, and yes, they couldn't find a mole. Because it's a mole, and they used a field mouse. So
yeah, for sure. But yeah, so then she goes, she gets her husband, and the body is not there.
Right.
But they do find the Mansonite girl in the yard, and she can't speak.
Yeah, she's mute, and they're trying to, and Jessica's kind of hammering her, like, she's trying to get she's trying to get information out of her, and say, like, did you see the guy die? Did you see someone murder him? Did you see whatever? And Duncan is just like, stop it. Like, just
knock it off. Like, you're scaring her. And, all of a sudden, Emily shows up, and Mansonite girl runs like the Dickens.
Right. Like she gone. Right. So she leaves. And then that night, this is a really interesting conversation. Because they're, stuck in their tiny bed, and she's kind of, I would say, Jessica is very talkative right now. Like, she's like, and this, right? And Duncan's just trying to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And she is, she's kind of talking, and then all of a sudden he's awake, and he looks at her and he says, I think you should go back to New York, because I think you should see your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think I can go through this with you again.
Yep.
And
there is a moment, like, right before dinner as well, where Emily is touching all on her husband. And, then she excuses herself to, like, go to bed. And, she leaves, and the voiceover in her head is like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? And yet, like, right then, Emily and I would have had fucking words. But again, we're taught to be like subservient good women. So, okay, I don't say anything. I go to bed. Then Woody is like, I'm also going to go to bed. Go take care of your wife.
Yeah.
Duncan.
Thank you, Woody. Thank you.
Love Woody.
Love Woody.
Woody leaves, and Duncan's there with Emily, and Emily got them come hither eyes. But Duncan does. He goes up to be with his wife.
Yeah. And then
and then says, like, I can't do this again.
Right.
Like, can't do this again. Then go tell little Miss fucking I fucker to get her hands off you, and you and I don't got to go through a motherfucking thing.
Absolutely. But absolutely. So she says, she's like, then just leave me.
Mm-hmm.
Then just leave me. Right. And then she starts to cry because he doesn't protest.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, no, I'm not going to leave you. Now, as someone who has been in a relationship, like when I was dating Richard,
I'm so glad our friendship survived that relationship.
Hillary was front row and center for the dumpster fire that was that relationship. One of the things that, so I had dated this, trailer trash, crazy dude that subjected me to all kinds of horrors. And so what I did, what a lot of women do, is they overcorrect, right? Mm-hmm. They go from the sexual deviant to the person who is asexual. Like, they literally just, they're like, okay, well, this guy won't cheat on me, or this guy will treat me respectfully, right? And the thing is, women are not all or nothing in that respect. Like, women are not the Madonna and or the whore, right? Like, sometimes we want to be a hoe, sometimes we don't, right? So for me,
I call it selectively slutty. That's selectively how Talon and I got together.
I love that. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, that's, it's important for you to find the porridge that Goldilocks chose, right?
Yep.
Like, you gotta find it. You can't find someone who is not your sexual, who is not your sexual equal, essentially. Otherwise, you're going to be very unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happened. I ended up with a partner who was very prim and proper, very asexual. I used to cry to Hillary, like, we're not having sex. I don't understand. What do I need to do? Just the whole, oh my God, the rigmarole of that. Right. So but one of the things that he would do was hold the bipolar thing over my head. And he would say, I don't want to fuck you because of your bipolar. Like, in other words, your mental illness is so unattractive that it makes me not want to have sex with you. Right. No accountability whatsoever. So, and there was a point where he used to say, I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze. That's an actual expression. And so I understand how Jessica feels in this scene. Like, I get that, like, where you're just like, well, then just leave me. And Richard used to say, oh, if I was going to leave you, I would have left you a long time ago. Which is really, you know, because you're as someone, as a woman, as a partner, as a whatever, you're consistently trying to, like, oh, I got to be good. I got to be good, right? Like, I got to be mentally okay. Like, I got to be the prim and proper girlfriend that he wants me to be, right? So, and it wasn't like Hillary used to tell me. She's like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, I had a real hard time in this relationship of just like, trying to love you and like be your friend and like absolutely hate Richard, but like try and be cool and be like, oh yeah, hey Richard,
Yeah,
it's
right.
cool. Yeah. Ha ha.
You're not fucking my friend who watches porn in her spare time. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but you
Yeah.
know, hey, you do you, boo. You know?
Like, I just, he didn't have like a joy for life. He didn't, like, I didn't
Nope.
see how he added to your life in any category.
Right.
Like, it, like, and that's what it is for. Like, I don't have to understand the sex thing. Okay. But like, they do this together. He's always interested in like making new foods or cooking and like the, and Aaron loves trying new foods. So, like, that's where it's, I couldn't find where the key and the lock went. It didn't make sense to me. And we all know I need the key to go in the lock. If the
Absolutely.
key, otherwise it's just confusing. And once I'm confused, then I'm really fucking annoyed by it. But I'm also your friend, so I'm going to be your friend. But also, I gotta tell you sometimes, like, I don't get this.
Right. Absolutely.
I
And
love you, I don't fucking get it.
yeah. I just remember, like, said she was like, someday you're gonna find a guy who's gonna fuck you. Like, it was the I remember this conversation because I'm driving down 34th Street. I'm bawling my eyes out, and on the phone with Hill, and Hill's just like, yeah, this you gotta seriously, like, you're gonna find a guy, and da, da, da. So, and yeah, that's the
Because,
thing
like, the
is.
bar was in hell. Like, literally, pull over to the gas station. You will do better.
That's why, like I said, man, it's very important to find whatever your equal is, man. Like, 'cause sometimes, hey, man, if sex is not your thing, that's cool. But if one of you is super horny all the time and the other one will literally not be affectionate with you, there's a problem, bro. There's a fucking problem. And so, like, for me, finding Slink and finding somebody who I had podcasting and, I had horror movies in case, and I, the whole food thing, right?
He gets up to leave the bed to go sleep downstairs. And he was like, no, I'll just go sleep downstairs. So he gets up, he leaves the bed. Jessica's like laying there crying with her voiceover of just like, I'm too much. Like, this is too much. I am too much. And, I didn't create this, but I let people have stated before, that my husband is a lot. And I can wrap my brain around like the storytelling and, like the over animation once he gets comfortable with you.
Somebody has told you that your husband is a lot?
But yeah, before we were married, of
Oh,
just
okay.
like, oh, like, while we were dating, and it was just like, yeah, Talon, he's a lot. And yeah,
Wow.
my response now is like, go find less.
Yeah, exactly. That's yes. I mean,
Go find less.
I'm
Because
glad
it's
that
not too much for me.
Right, exactly. That's the thing is,
Yep.
Slink's a chatty Cathy. Like, he when he has a subject, he has a subject, right? And but I love listening, right?
Yeah,
And
no.
So it's
I
like
love
it's
that my, I mean, I hate that my husband's smarter than me, but I really secretly love that my husband is smarter than me because he's interested in so many fucking things. And when I have a problem, I can go there and
Yeah.
say, like, no, I have a problem. Help me fix it. And it's totally in his DNA to then want to fix it. It's also in his DNA that I will call him and just start cursing him the fuck out. Blind fucking rage. He will answer the phone and be like, "What's up, baby?" And I'll just go, "I'll just think it's fucking funny that you think you can talk to me any kind of fucking way. And let me tell you something about you, you dumb fucking bitch." And he's sitting there and he's like just waiting. And then he realizes I'm, talking about, my boss or somebody, an insurance company or this or that or whatever. And he goes, "Oh, okay, this isn't for me, but I have to get the poison out of me." And it's a safe place for it to land on him where he doesn't take any of that shit personal.
Yes, that's it. That, you know what? And that is huge. That is
Huge.
huge. Huge. Huge. Huge. Huge. All right. So Duncan disappoints us, like at this point. Like Duncan turns into a bummer because not only he gets up and he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm not sleeping anywhere tonight. So he leaves the bedroom and he ends up in a chair where Little Miss Hippie Hot Pants decides to seduce him. And they have PG rated sex.
After she kills the mouse in the glass jar.
After she kills the fake mole,
Yeah.
she kills the mouse in the glass jar and then fucks the husband. Yeah.
And then fucks the husband. Emily is busy.
Oh, woo, baby. That's
And
a
then in the
lot.
morning, she lets Jessica take the heat for killing the mouse.
Oh, in the morning, Jessica is beside herself. She's like, I just don't understand. She's like, you think I did it? I didn't do it, And it's an uncomfortable thing. And then at one point, Duncan leaves to go into town, and Emily blatantly, like, I mean, if you are looking out that window as Jessica was, you see that she leans into the hearse to get a kiss.
Yep.
And he leaves to go into town. Jessica's upstairs looking in the attic, and then, Emily appears. And then, like I said, maybe I've been watching too much 70s porn lately. I'm going through a phase. But did you get the vibe that she was like, "Oh, I am into both sides of this." Like
Oh,
Emily.
yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, no,
Okay.
th yeah, this was absolutely going to become like a real throuple.
Oh, right. I totally thought.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so she's stroking her face, so she's
Yeah.
rubbing lotion on her back, and I'm like,
Yeah, and
okay,
like
like,
let's go swimming together. And
yeah.
then like Jessica, this is you bum me out here. Where she like she is like gal paling with I and so you bum me out because I'm me, but I also understand that I don't want to lose my husband. So if we need to invite this woman in, then like that's what we need to do, and we're all going to be friends because it's like after the sexual revolution and
Because it's the
whatever.
70s, right? Yeah, like this is, it's all Bob Carroll, Ted and Alice at this point.
Yeah, it is absolutely. We're going to go to key fob parties and like the whole fucking nine, and like yeah, just me being me, I'm bummed out. But from Jessica's point of view, I'm trying to like wrap my brain around it of just. And then Emily just like pushes her off a cliff into the lake.
Pushes her into the lake and then tries to seduce her again, and
Seduce her again.
thank
And Jessica,
God
yeah.
Jessica's like, you need to get the fuck away from me. Like, I mean, obviously in a PG-rated movie, but you need to stay over there.
Yeah, Jessica's decisions make the most sense to me.
Yeah,
And she's the
absolutely.
mentally ill woman. So I don't
Yeah.
know what that says, but. Like I can wrap my brain around, I this is what we're doing, I follow my husband, he loves me, so okay, but just like too much is too much. And like she starts like trying to have healthy boundaries of just like you and I ain't cool.
Right. So at one point, she decides to catch a ride into town because she wants to talk to Duncan. And she catches a ride from, a big daddy trucker,
Yep.
and oddly enough, does not get raped.
He literally just drives her insane. Her. She runs into the road, you know, with thoughts of killing herself. And I'm like, oh, but yeah, the truck just stops and he's got a fun little haircut with a, you know, shaved head. Like he just got out of a mental institution, had some lobes attached. Some little shock therapy there for you.
A little bit yep. of ECT. Yeah.
And he just drives her into town, drops her off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that happens.
GMC 5500.
In a GMC 5500.
Oh, I love that you do that. That's great. So yes, that's exactly what happens. She gets dropped off and then at one point she comes back and she ends up in the orchard and she just passes out.
Yeah, just takes a little nappy nap.
In the orchard.
Can't find my husband. Like everything is bad.
Yeah.
My house is right there, but she
ran into the antique dealer when she was leaving the general store.
Oh.
That was the antique dealer she found dead at the bottom of the waterfall. She freaked out and ran away.
Okay, so then I don't know. We're jumping around a lot, but that's okay. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, if you've made it this far,
come
it's
on.
Fine. Yeah. Right. I mean, in the store, she like notices, you know, or
everybody's
in town
cut up,
that everybody it has cuts.
Yeah,
on
everybody
them.
Everybody has these weird markings.
Like,
on their
yeah,
neck.
Marks.
Yeah.
And then she does run into the antique dealer in town, mm-hmm. and then goes and takes a nap in the orchard.
Yeah, and see, the biggest problem, that the only like real problem I have with this movie is that all of the white men look alike.
Like, yeah, they do.
Except Woody. Woody is discernible from everyone
with
else.
Mutton chops, yep.
Because of the mutton chops. Everyone
else. Well, and Duncan's
else,
bald.
Yeah, like there's a lot of receding hairlines in this movie. Everyone else just looks like a white guy from the VFW, basically. At one point, Jessica is lying in bed with Duncan, and Duncan tries to initiate, you know, the most vanilla sex I've ever seen. He tries to initiate vanilla sex, and she's kind of getting into it. And then all of a sudden, she sees he has a mark on his neck, too. And then it turns into Rosemary's Baby.
Can yes. So, yeah. Cue the music from Hereditary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's the knife mark on his throat. And it's like white and pussy and gross. And then Emily joins the party. She walks in with her knife, and I was just like, okay, so it's like a real like blood orgy thruple.
Mm-hmm.
Now the entire fucking town is also in their bedroom. And I was like, oh my god, it's now a gangbang. And then I went, well, wait a minute. Is the vampire lady involved? Because then it's an orgy. So what is it? Is this an orgy or a gangbang? And I went down a rabbit hole in my brain. I've lost the next 5 minutes of movie, so I really don't know what happened, of deciphering if I wanted to go to an orgy with a vampire or if I just want to gangbang the whole town to, you know, stay with my husband.
The hillbillies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and it is, we're doing the orgy with the vampire.
Yeah, probably. I would say orgy with a vampire. That was, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, it was funny because I'm laying in bed, I get a text message and it basically says, is it an orgy or a gangbang? And I was like, well, are we talking semantics? Because then we have to talk about the difference between the two. And see, this is, you know, one of the reasons that I love Slink, because Slink and I have porno brains. And so mm-hmm. I sit there and I'm like, well, I mean, technically, you know, I said, I've only seen a female and a bunch of males as far as a gangbang is concerned. If I've seen more than one female, then it's usually an orgy. And then I said, the last time I saw a man and a bunch of women was, and he literally finished the sentence. He goes, oh yeah, no, John Doe, luckiest man alive. But I said, normally it's female and a bunch of dudes, you know, and a bunch of very sad dude. The best part of any gangbang video is the new guy who just got into the business, who is like sort of in the corner with like the sneakers, and he's just sadly jerking off. Like he's sitting
sadly.
Here, he's waiting for his turn, right? He's just kind of like, okay, now? Nope, not now. Okay, you guys do your, I'm sorry, you know. Okay, now? And I'm like, oh God. I mean, Lisa Ann, porn star, once said the hardest part of any gangbang is scheduling.
I believe it. I, you know, there's a
She's been,
gangbang in my brain sounds nice. Let's just, yeah, my husband's laying right next to me. So in my brain, I can go, yeah, no, having just like different hands and like we're all doing what my brain wants us to do all at the same time,
Yep.
that could be really fucking hot and exciting. The reality of people being people and just having open access to me is a nightmare, violent fantasy where I go to prison for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's funny because one of the things that she said in this interview was she said, you have to find five guys who A, like each other, and B, have the same schedule and can get literally can get along. Like
Yeah.
she was saying that that's the hardest thing is because you can't have guys that are like, well, I'm the alpha. No, I'm the
Yeah.
alpha. You know, like you have to understand it's like, all right, like you do you and you do you and you do you, right? All right. So wrapping up this film, huh, okay, we're gonna do the short version. Okay. So she's like, no gangbang, jumps up. Runs through the orchard. She sees that the tractor is running. She goes, oh my God, why is the tractor running? She sees Woody. Then she finds out Woody's dead. Oh God, Woody's dead. So then she jumps into her, she's gonna go on the ferry. But the ferryman is like, no, not for you. And she's like,
Yeah,
what the
cut on the
fuck?
face.
So she jumps into a rowboat. Then she sees a body floating, you know, like someone's gonna come up and do a fucking Friday the 13th. Like she's gonna do a Jason's mom and pull her into the water. So she grabs.
The gaff.
Thank you. It was like the thing with the hook and the macaw, the barbecue fork. She grabs
The very long barbecue fork. That's what I was gonna call it.
a barbecue fork. She starts stabbing the body over and over and over and over again, and then she realizes she has stabbed her husband to death. His body floats. She looks on the bank and she sees the townspeople as well as Emily slash Abigail in the white wedding dress, and she's like, I the last lines of the movie, I can no longer discern what reality is versus fantasy. And credits, you have been watching Let's
That
Scare Jessica
scared Jessica to
to
death.
death. Right. And it is left completely ambiguous. Did it all happen in her head? Did she commit the killings? Is this real? Was this a conspiracy from the town? Did her husband pay everybody and they're all in on it because they want to, you know,
Rosemary's baby ear?
drive her crazy? Whatever you choose to believe in this weird 70s nightmarescape, that's on you. There's I like the fact that it's very 70s ambiguous, right? You're just like, okay, it's open to interpretation. It is whatever you like, you just say, viewed through the lens of your own experience.
Yeah, there were a whole lot of things that I loved about this movie. I love the cinematography of it. Jessica made a lot of sense to me. I love her voiceover, the descent into madness. What is true? What isn't real? What is real? Is she an unreliable narrator, or is she the only one that is present and reading the area for what it really fucking is? There is a whole lot of that, and that to me absolutely made this worth a fucking watch.
Absolutely. Oh no,
Yeah.
I would say this is absolutely worth the watch. You can watch it free on YouTube.
Or $3.29 on Amazon.
Oh, did you pay for it?
I did. I cannot figure out how to navigate YouTube. I'm not a 12-year-old boy. YouTube makes no sense to me. That's why if it's on YouTube, you have to send it to me and I watch it on my phone and I have no notes.
Oh shit.
I
Okay.
can't figure out YouTube. Nothing ever shows up for me other than another podcast saying, like, oh, you're a podcaster. Clearly, you want to watch a podcast about the movie you're trying to watch. And I'm like, no, YouTube, I'm trying to watch the movie and have my own fucking podcast. I don't need a podcast about the movie. I'm gonna do that. But that's all YouTube wants to show me. So.
And then, as far as our next movie is concerned, because I better motor if I'm going to make it to that funeral, quoting Heathers,
Have you seen Final Girls?
I have not. Let's do it.
Okay.
Nope. Never seen. We're still in Never Seen It November, folks.
Yep, it's on my to be watched like thing, and I hear good things about it. It was like a throwback to like slasher history, this and that. And I've never fucking watched it. So I thought for Never Watch November, let's do Final Girl or
Right
Final
on.
Girls.
Final Girls. All right. And keep it here. And as per always, also big shout out to Talon for joining us today.
Yeah, boy.
Woo. Okay. And as always, one, two, three,
Stay
stay manic.
manic.